Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, September 15th, 2016. With me today, I have John Martellaro. How are you, John?
Good morning. I am good, except for maybe some seasonal allergy.
Well, it is that time of year, and this time of year totally backs up, or no, validates my desire for having a spacesuit that I can wear around. And in addition to keeping me safe from all of these allergens that make my head want to explode, It would also look cool. I'm thinking maybe something along the lines of what Matt Damon wore in The Martian.
Or maybe you can get a seamstress to sew you one up out of aluminum foil.
That's a possibility too. And the added bonus of that is that I would be totally prepared for any crackpot theory that Dave Hamilton chooses to support.
Or me, because I like those conspiracy theories too.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll find a seamstress and see if they can put everything together for us.
Okay. Cool.
Anyhow, hey, as long as we're here, and I presume done talking about spacesuits and allergies, I think the big topic today is the iPhone 7 and 7 Plus. Now, not in the sense that, hey, new phone's coming out, but in the sense that, hey, new phone's coming out, and you can't get one. So what we know as of today is that iPhone 7 Plus inventory is sold out worldwide, and that all jet black iPhone models are sold out, and there's very limited availability in the iPhone 7 for the regular black, silver, and rose gold models.
We know, or I think we know, that Apple manufactures the regular model and the Plus model in the ratio of 2-to-1. So that means the 7 Plus was probably 1/3 of the production. And if there was a serious interest in the dual cameras.
And it sounds like there was.
That could explain why the 7 Plus sold out early.
Yeah, the 7 Plus sold out very early in the pre-order process, which started last Friday, early in the morning. And it didn't take very long before the 7 Plus was pushed out a few weeks and for delivery. And now is like October and maybe November in some cases, but definitely October.
I was very lucky last Friday. I had something to do Friday morning, and I didn't want to stay up until 1 or 1:30 in the morning. So I said, I'm just tired of being abused. I'm just going to go to bed. And at 8:30 in the morning, I got online with my iPhone, the Apple Store app. I'd already expressed my preference the day before, which I think helps. And I just said, okay, order it. And paid with Apple Pay. And it took about a minute. And at 8:30 in the morning on Friday morning, I was able to get just the phone I wanted, a black 128 gigabytes. But I was probably at the tail end of the ability to do that.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. And what I did was exactly the opposite of you. I was up at 1 in the morning Mountain Time. And I spent over an hour trying to get the servers to cooperate so I could actually
I feel for you. Well, that's interesting that the servers were jammed because a lot of people are accustomed to doing that and were concerned that maybe they couldn't get the phone they wanted if they waited any longer. And so that was happening, even though the inventory was supporting it, the servers maybe weren't. Because at 8:30 the next morning, I was able to get just the phone I wanted. So
sure.
I think it was server load, not inventory at that point. But by and by, now inventory has become an issue because I think Apple was properly skeptical about making too many of them in the initial run. Because perhaps while they thought they had a great product, maybe they thought the media had influenced people out of a craving for this new phone, and that would affect early sales. So they probably cut back a little bit And there's no downside to that, because after all, if you don't have enough, it looks like demand is worldwide very high.
Mm-hmm.
So you can always order more, but you don't want to be sitting with unsold inventory. That's a no-no. So I think it all is going to work out.
You know, as I watched all this play out since last Friday, and it's been more and more obvious every day that there just simply aren't enough iPhone 7 and 7 Plus models right now, I kept thinking, you know, Apple, it's not like Apple hasn't had years and decades of mm-hmm. experience with product launches. So they have a pretty good idea what to expect. And yet, time and again, we have this problem where there just simply aren't enough. And you brought up something when we were chatting in our morning meeting that I'm going to paraphrase. Apple lowballs inventory for launch, and they do it on purpose.
Well, yeah. There's nothing like making it look like you're having a swimming success, but the way you mask that is by not announcing the weekend numbers in concert with that, with another kind of excuse, and so you get away with it.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and the not announcing numbers, on one hand, I get why they wouldn't want to do that based on what Apple actually said, which is that their inventory, most of it's going out to other resellers. So on their end, it just shows that they've sold out. But it isn't showing an actual number of units going into customer hands. Whereas before, when Apple was handling pretty much all the sales themselves, they knew what was going into customers' hands, so they could report those numbers. And now they're saying it's not as relevant because they don't know what's going in customers' hands. On the other hand, when Apple is doing what they're doing now, which is not telling us how many they're selling, it's a really great way to obfuscate sure. potentially lower sales sure. figures.
Well, I heard, wasn't it T-Mobile was giving away a free iPhone 7 if you re-upped for 2 years?
Yes, and I believe Sprint was doing something similar. And then, of course, AT&T, T-Mobile, and Verizon all have their annual upgrade plans. And now Apple does, too. So,
well, it's reasonable to expect that T-Mobile and Sprint may have approached Apple and said, hey, we've heard that you may not sell as many. People are kind of in a funky state. They're not thinking that the iPhone 7 is a must-have upgrade. Tell you what, how would you like to sell us a whole lot of iPhone 7s and really build your numbers up? And we'll commit to buying X, and then we'll give them away free if our customers re-up. We win, you win, the customers win. Sounds like a plan to me.
I could see something like that happening. And, it makes sense that Apple or any company, really, would want to do everything they could to ensure a very successful product launch. And part of that does mean teaming with, in this case, carriers.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no value in buying a new iPhone if you don't have a carrier to use it with. So, sure, I could totally see Apple striking deals. The downside is, I think that to what they've done this time around, I think they may have unintentionally gone way low on what their expectations were for sales. And this time it's actually biting them.
Yeah, well, the proof in the pudding would be the quarterly report, the one that's held... let's see, October 20th won't reflect a whole lot of sales because it's only been 2 weeks till the end of the quarter.
Is that right? So it'll be the holiday sales quarter that actually matters.
Right. Then we'll really see the cumulative results and the success of the iPhone 7. I've been getting the feeling in my reading, and maybe it's just a subjective perception. I can't quite put my finger on it, but I'm kind of getting the feeling from my reading on the internet that there's something about this jet black in concert with the regular Matt Black. Mm-hmm. It's got people pumped up. I don't know what it is. You'd be crazy to say, look, it's an iPhone. It's a very technical device. It's very expensive. It has all these features. Why would somebody get excited about the color? But people have gotten excited about the color in Asia and the rose gold. Maybe Apple struck a chord with U.S. customers with these two different blacks to choose from. It could be a fashion thing.
Oh, John, it's so cute how anyhow, okay.
It's just a perception.
John, it's great that even though you have Vulcan heritage, that you can pick up on these human nuances. Yes, the iPhone is a very personal device, and as such, it reflects in some way the person that uses it. And color is a big part of that. So, yes, the jet black is a big thing because it's a personality thing. It's this cool, sleek thing. It's this really kind of sexy look. And it's the same thing with the rose gold for the people that like that.
Right. And I avoided the jet black because I had a suspicion that it would scratch, and I think it's confirmed.
Oh, Apple said it would scratch.
Micro scratches, and Apple recommends you put a case on it. Which is why I'm reviewing transparent cases this year, because I'm tired of covering up my phone. I think other people too are too. And because the color is so important to the iPhone experience, what sense does it make to put an opaque case on your iPhone 7?
You know, that's a really good question. And I always go for space gray or black or whatever they're calling the color each year. And then I promptly put a cover or a case on it.
Yeah.
And what I did with my 6 and 6S was I put Apple's leather case on it, and I went with that midnight blue. And that's because that was the color that resonated with me. And I'll put a case on my iPhone 7. I haven't bought it yet because I went to look at them in the store on Friday. And I'm torn between the two colors of blue. So I need to look at them and then decide which blue case is going on my black iPhone.
I've got a transparent case from iLove on my iPhone 6S, and it shows the Apple logo, and it's got these black rubber buffers around the corners, and I think it's just awesome. And I'm going to try to go the same route with the 7.
Nice.
It's going to be nice.
Nice. All right. So we kind of got off track, but the point is, I believe, that Apple can intentionally create this artificial hype. Well, that's not fair. It's not artificial. People really want iPhones, but they can create this artificial sense of demand that is higher than it actually is by manipulating the inventory that's available at launch. So they just don't make as many iPhones.
Well, it's recursive too, right? Is when you hear that the lines are long and everybody wants one and they're sold out, it affects your psychology. And you say, well, if everybody else wants one, I should have one too, because it's so popular. And you can't discount that follow along mentality that is alien to the Vulcan mind.
Yes, but your perception of human activity and our kind of a group hive mind thing that we do, because we are pack animals, which I'm sure you Vulcans have been able to discern. Yeah. It's when the group starts doing something, everyone that's not in the group takes notice and wants to know why they're not in the group and then become part of it. And yes, I'm totally generalizing, but that's how human dynamics work.
Critical part of having a shortage at launch.
Yep. So yeah, that totally makes sense. Now, for you and for me, not a problem, because we got our iPhones pre-ordered. For a lot of people, though, they're going to show up in line tomorrow. Some people are in line already, and they're not going to be able to get an iPhone.
Well, why would you want to stand in line except for the social experience, right?
You know,
you could get up at 1 o'clock in the morning in your pajamas in the dark and order it with the Apple app on the store app. So what fun is that?
You know, the social thing of standing in line for the devout Apple fan totally makes sense because it's a social experience. However, based on conversations that I've been having with people over the past week since pre-order started, I get that there's a lot of people that will show up and stand in line, not for the social experience, but because they simply never think about ordering online. They want to go in the store. It's just what they do. And I mean, even yesterday when I was out walking around a Pearl Street Mall for a little bit, I ran into people that were saying, yeah, you know, I love my current iPhone, and they were ranging from the 5 to the 6S. And they were telling me, yep, I'm going to get the new iPhone, so I'll just go over to the Verizon store, the AT&T store, or the Apple store, whatever they wanted, on Friday and pick mine up. And it didn't occur to them there wouldn't be inventory available. It didn't occur to them that they could order online. And when I asked them, why didn't you just pre-order, they looked dumbfounded. Like,
I know what it is.
Why would you do that?
I know what it is. You and I write about the iPhone. We've been writing about the iPhone 7 for maybe 9 months. I remember there was an article back in May about that I wrote that got a lot of page views about what the iPhone 7 might have versus the iPhone 8, the 10th anniversary phone next year. So you and I have been writing about the iPhone 7 and what we think it might have and its features, and discussing the lack of the 3.5 millimeter audio jack ad nauseum. So we think we understand the product. And so when we're ready to order, we just go tap, tap. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of other people who are not highly read, they hear about the iPhone 7, they know it's out, they've seen it on TV, they've seen the lines, they want to go into the store and be sold and have the experience and ask about it and feel it and touch it and have a conversation with the salesman and, you know, engage in the buying experience of a new product that they're not familiar with.
I can totally see that. I think for a lot of people, before they make a purchase, especially when it's something that cost them money or might kind of stretch their comfort level, you know, with technology, they need the tactile experience.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. I can see that. And I also see that there's going to be a lot of disappointed people tomorrow when they can't walk into a store and buy an iPhone.
Well, I'll be in the mall tomorrow picking up my phone, and I'll try to strike up as many conversations as I can.
Excellent.
Ask people what they're thinking.
Yes, and I'm really looking forward to hearing how your in-store experience goes with, because you're trading in your old phone and all of that. So I'm looking forward to that. Hey, we're kind of out of time, but before we wrap up, WatchOS 3 is out. Do you have any feature that's like a real standout for you?
Well, I have a real standout plus and a minus.
Okay.
I like the dock. I love the dock. I think that's the way to go. You've got the control panel. You swipe up from the bottom to get to the essential stuff.
Yes.
And then you've got the dock of apps, and then you can add and delete. And this is great, and they're live. And this is the way it should have been all along. So hats off to Apple. I think that's the coolest feature of WatchOS 3. What I don't like is it's still only one face that has hours, minutes, seconds digital, and that's the digital activity face. So the modular face and the others, the astronomy face, still doesn't have hours, minutes, and seconds. So I'm wondering how I'm going to solve that problem. Maybe there's a complex, what do you call it? Complexity.
Complication.
Oh, complication. Sorry, I couldn't get the word out.
Yes,
maybe there's a complication that I can acquire somehow that will give me hours, minutes, seconds on a watch face. But that's the annoyance. After a year and a half and three versions, I don't see why it should be so difficult to have digital hours, minutes, seconds. So that's my first blush. And it took 2 hours to install, and that seems like it's for the original Apple Watch that everybody has. It seems like 2 hours is about the average, about an hour to download and an hour to get it installed. So that's kind of a pain. I wish Apple could fix that. But anyway,
yeah, I think WatchOS 3 is so cool.
Yeah, I like the way that it seems to me that Apple has really homed in on how people are using their watches through the feedback mechanism, looking closely at the psychology of it, the needs of the people, the runners, the activity, monitoring the utilization profiles, what features they're using and didn't use in watchOS 1 and 2. And I think they really nailed it in watchOS 3.
Yeah, watchOS 3 feels much more refined, and it feels like what I expect everyone wishes the original watchOS had been. And okay, so I have a couple things that are standing out for me right now, and both are surprises to me. The first is the Breathe app.
No, I haven't tried that yet.
It's interesting because it makes me more aware of how busy and how hyper-focused I get throughout the day. And it pulls me out of that and makes me stop for a minute. And even if I don't actually stop to breathe when it tells me to, the fact that it's telling me, hey, it's time for you to stop and take a minute to breathe, that's really shown me a lot about how I work throughout the day. So that's been kind of cool. And the other thing is being able to swipe from right to left to change watch faces. Because the thing before, you know, where you had to do the firm press and then you move through, pick the one you want and use that, it left me in a position where I was like, you know, that's no fun. It's annoying. So I had a single watch face that I have used since I got my Apple Watch. I did the customizations with the complications and left it. And with watchOS 3, I now have three different watch faces that I'm jumping between based on whatever it is that I'm doing. And I can do that easily. And so, yeah, so watch faces became a new thing for me.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I've read that people change their watch faces based on the occasion. It's a different watch for the weekday and one for the weekend. Or maybe for different activities. That's pretty cool.
Yep. I have two that I use primarily. One is just my regular watch face, which is the one that I have always used. And then I have a new one set up for workouts. And then I have a couple others for other types of activities. But just being able to swap between those two very quickly is pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely.
So I'm looking forward to getting a hold of the Apple Watch Series 2. I'll be picking that up tomorrow along with my iPhone 7. And I'm excited to see how we both react to these new devices. So, you know, we're out of time.
Yeah.
And we're going to have to wrap up. John, thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, you're very welcome. It was fun.
Yes, always fun. And listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.